The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this day that He has given to us, snow-free for once. The order of services before you will follow that today. In addition, you'll note that before the prayers, we will dedicate our new funeral palls that we have been gifted through some donations. Also, on the inside of the back cover of the bulletin, there's a little bit of explanatory information there for you on the use of palls as well. One other reminder, after Bible class this morning, youth and adults interested in higher things will gather for just a couple of minutes. Got some things to hand out to you and a few questions and such to go over for that this summer. The service is before you. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. In the almost 20 years since my ordination, I've never preached on today's gospel text. Today is the 7th Sunday after the Epiphany, and that doesn't happen very often. It might also explain why this is the assigned reading. It's one of the most difficult texts written in St. Luke's Gospel, so it might be no accident that it falls on a day in the church year that doesn't come around very much. While preparing for today, I learned from preachers of the past that this is a text that no one wants to preach, because the passage forces preachers to say things that people don't want to hear. No one wants to be told to love their enemies. Jesus isn't talking about love for neighbor in general, as He does elsewhere, love for the stranger, or even love for the other. He's talking about love for the enemy. He's not talking about love for those who don't know you or for those who are indifferent to you. He's talking about love for those who hate you. Love for those that wish you ill personally. love for those who would rather you didn't even exist. And that's the kind of love that runs counter to the way that we think. It runs counter to our experience. And even in the time of Jesus, it ran counter to the best wisdom of the day. Because no self-respecting Jew would love his enemy. In fact, their tradition told them to not go to the aid of an enemy, lest it make him stronger. In fact, these words of Jesus run counter to the way that most of us live our lives. Because as Americans, you stand up for your rights. As Americans, you fight for what you believe in. As Americans, you try to never let anyone take advantage of you. Yet it seems like Jesus is saying the exact opposite of that here. He says, to offer the other cheek to the ones who strike you, to not withhold your tunic from the one who would take away your cloak. He says, to give to everyone who begs from you. So does that mean you ought to not protest when the government infringes on your rights as Christians? Does it mean that you should pay more taxes than you owe? That you should voluntarily give to those who would rob you of what is rightly yours? Does it mean that I should help that Nigerian prince get his money when he emails me? Does it mean that I should have a ready supply of dollar bills to hand out on street corners? Jesus doesn't stop there. So while your mind is still reeling from the implications of your external actions, he also lays claim to your inner thoughts. Judge not, condemn not, he says, in words that we hear from all corners. I don't know about you, but I can't always make my inner thoughts match my outward actions, especially if we're talking about me giving up my stuff to those that I don't think are worthy to receive it. But enough about taxes. So this is the point at which the commentators who write about this text observe that this teaching raises questions to which it does not necessarily offer answers. That's not very helpful. So part of the problem is that we read these words of Christ from the viewpoint of our culture. We don't hear them as the people who would have heard Jesus heard them. You hear this text and apply it in your own cultural terms where you are now without taking into account the culture that Jesus is speaking to. And Jesus is speaking to a culture that was caught up in distinguishing friend from enemy. And you can find those kinds of writings in both Jewish and Roman contexts where it's important to know who you're dealing with. And there were different ethical expectations for both of those groups of people. So even if you're dealing with your own friends, there was this complex web of reciprocity in relationships. If you received, you were expected to give. And if you gave, you expected to receive back. It's this complex web of social rules that kept society functioning, from the emperor all the way down to the lowliest of slaves. Everyone had their part to play. And Jesus undoes all of it. As Christians, as the baptized of God, you have been freed from having enemies. You have been freed from the this for that kind of existence where every slight must be repaid in kind, especially on social media. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, right? But this works two ways, this freedom. It gives the Christians that St. Luke is writing to a way to deal with persecution. where they did not have to repay what was done to them back in the same way. It gave them a way to view the rest of the world that freed them to serve each other, as well as their non-Christian neighbors, by giving all of them the same social status before the Lord. They could serve those above them and below them in society without having to worry about placing obligations on either of those people to pay them back or to be beholden to them. Everyone you met was to be treated as a potential Christian, a potential equal before the Lord. And that's where the judge not lest you be judged, condemn not lest you be condemned language comes in. It has to do that believing that no one is outside the realm of salvation. It has absolutely nothing to do with ignoring sin or critiquing evil. So if you wonder what that looks like in action, how can you make this happen? Reread this text again. But this time, don't think of yourselves as the ones doing the actions. Instead, think of Jesus doing the actions for you. Jesus loved his enemies. Jesus gave all that he had, even his very life. Jesus did not only turn the other cheek, he presented his hands and feet as well so they could be nailed to his cross. Jesus did not judge or condemn. You see that with all the people that he hung out with, right? Rather, he was judged and he was condemned in the place of those who hated him. And then Jesus rose from the dead as the first fruits of the people of God who will all someday rise from the dead, imperishable. So you gave Jesus your death, and in response, he gave you his life. You were his enemies, and he made you his people. You were his enemies, and he treated you as family. You took from him, but he has given to you. And so because of his death and resurrection, you are now a people beyond the categories of friends and enemies, a people not tied to the cultural expectations of first century Rome or even 21st century America. You are the people of God, set free from sin and death, so that you may call all people your neighbor. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.